actually turning to a scripture. Let's go over to Luke 18. That will give me an opportunity to do my Preston. For those of you that remember Preston, he would just take a sip of water and just watch y'all turn to a page. Luke 18, interesting, the little peculiarities that we learn from each other along the way. Luke chapter 18. Now, some of you may have in your heading, I've always known this as the parable of the unjust judge, but I looked in this Bible, and it talks about the parable of the persistent widow. So I'm not sure which one you have there, or if yours has both of them. But anyway, there are lessons to learn from both ways. I kind of more like, in a sense, to take a look at this judge, though, because it's called an unjust judge. I think we know about more a little bit about, more about that in today's day and age, don't we? If you're going to come before a judge, it's nice to come before a judge who actually serves, that understands his position, because if you don't have a just chapter one, very interesting when you look at this, hopefully maybe in a different way, especially when you see what we've gone through in the past. Has that made you stronger or weaker? I believe it's made us stronger. I believe you can stand a lot more firmly for what you believe now because you were forced to really see, hey, here's another guy's view of it. Well, it's not what I read in this Bible. That's what they read in their Bible. So there's a lot of deception still taking place today. Notice Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ and called. Wow, verse 1 just says a ton right there. Verse 1 just acknowledges the identity of God. There it is, right there. So that's another one to add to your list to show sometime people when they ask about the identity of God. You can take them through all of Paul's epistles, take them through Jude here and says, look, it talks about Jesus Christ, who are sanctified, set apart by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. So you and I, think about this, stop for a second, remember? As I try to remember going back, thank you God for all the many blessings. Wow, that one and that one and that one and that one and that one. Incredible. Don't want to ever forget those because they just keep you thankful. And what's Philippians say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace will be with you. Somehow, whatever he says, and we sing about it, God will see us through. You can sing it all day, but if you don't practice it, what good is it? It's like a shield hanging down to the side of your body. Called. You and I were specifically called, hand-chosen by God the Father himself. Now consider everyone in Knoxville, just Knoxville. I don't know what the population is. I sure don't want to stretch that one out. Tens of thousands, I'm not sure, but consider that. Say there's got to be at least 50,000, I would think. So say 50,000. So God chooses you, just a small group of people. He's looking, and you have all these jelly beans and go, find the one, I'm going to find the one in here. And God specifically hand chose you. God the Father, our Father in heaven, the one through Jesus Christ created and made everything. And you and I are specifically hand chosen by the Father. That ought to take our breath away just like that. But why? Why? We forget that sometimes. We forget who we are. And we've got to renew that. That's why God has us. Oh, I wonder why he has us do a holy convocation. So we can remember that just once a week. Come together. Besides the prayers and the fastings that are requested of us as well. Verse 2. Mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. So he wants us to have more. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. What in the world was that? What was the faith once delivered to the saints? You got it right here. It's all here. All those letters that went to the churches, all the letters that went to Revelation, all those that we can say, huh, Revelation, the church at Ephesus, have I lost my first love? See, that's why that takes me back to the days when I was called. And, you know, I loved it, I love those people. I still do. And most of them are gone. Most of them that I fellowship with and stayed at nights and went out ice fishing at 2 in the morning. Because after Sabbath services, it was like, what are we doing? So we would go to one person's house. They lived on Lake St. Clair. We would go ice fishing at night. We'd bring in the perch, and the girls would be cooking them at 2 in the morning. We had a blast. And we all believed the same thing. I just listened on the way here to a song. It was written in the Young Ambassadors' time. Because we're family, and it's so plain to see, for all eternity, we'll be together, you and me. What in the world happened to my family? What happened to my family? Scattered. They were hit so hard, they're scattered all over the place. And I'm thinking, you can sing it. You can sing a great song. And I love that song. But where's my family? Well, God's building a family. And I believe that they'll be there. They'll just have to wait another 1,000 years. See, if I'm resurrected and I'm still in a physical body, my first thought's going to be, uh-oh, I missed it. I missed it. If I'm resurrected and I'm kind of go, this feels awesome. I haven't felt this good in years. Imagine all those resurrections that come up with people that have got their brand new bodies. Wow. We just don't stop to think about that enough. You know, when I did Roberta's graveside service, that cemetery, I didn't know Somerset had that many people. It's just huge cemetery. A lot of the Waddles are there. That's where, in fact, it was so ironic. Mr. Waddle was born and died in the same house. Never seen that before. But I'm looking at all these people, and sometimes that'll cause you to do that when you look at a cemetery, especially when you're thinking, man, I'm like next. Interesting how you look at that. And that doesn't have to be grisly or bad at all. That's life. It goes by so fast. Just does. But you think about all those people that had families, that lived, that ran, that breathed, and all that God's going to bring up, because they're all important to him, every one of them. But it's going to be all in their order. Those are the things that have been delivered to the saints. Do we still believe that? Does it cause us to catch our breath and go, God, you are so awesome. Please increase my faith. Please take away any doubt that I have, because I want to be strong for you. I want to be strong to help somebody else that may be kind of down and needs to be uplifted as well. That faith once delivered. Verse 4, there are certain men who crept in silently, who were before of the old ordained to this judgment, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lawlessness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4, I can take that back to the beginning too. Because, you know, I didn't see men or ministers see the one that baptized me is gone. But I didn't see him come in and sneak in. I'm going to come in and I'm going to sneak these things in. It wasn't that obvious. It just wasn't. The one statement I remember that my minister that baptized me said, he said, the roadmap leads to Christ. And once you get to Christ, you can throw away the roadmap. Was that? Wow. Right away I go, that's not true. That's why all those laws were done away with. You don't have to do that. That's all you're all thinking of works. So just believe in the grace of God, and that's all you got to do. Just believe in Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. No, it's not. Now, we know the works can't save us. We understand that balance. I can sit down any day with somebody and say, by the way, you're saying that we're saved by works. I'm not saying that at all. But you're saying you don't have to have them. I'm saying they go together. Faith with works. Abraham had both. All kinds of testimonies that we have throughout the Bible to disprove that theory that's just meant to tear into people and take away their faith. This is what he talked about. And we saw it happen in our lives, turning the grace of God into lawlessness. So they said, hey, don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to keep those days anymore. You know, you can eat anything you want. God has cleaned everything. I already been through that argument. I already been through it. Do I need another lesson? Maybe. Yeah, I have to go back and dig into it more, but we're supposed to be growing and growing and growing and growing and stronger and stronger and stronger. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And yet that's kind of some old story that comes up to modern day times and it hits us again. Because most of those people did not make it. And most of the people that we fellowship with, most of them, including ministers, did not make it either. So the reality checks right there before us. Romans 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10. Let's look at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is close to you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, obviously, that was when you look at the context, that was a huge issue at the time. They were teaching people that did not happen. The word was being spread around. That's not true. That did not happen. There were testimonies to where not only was Christ resurrected, but remember, there were a lot of saints that came out of their graves as well. So there were a lot of testimonies on resurrections. It wasn't just Lazarus and Christ. All the saints came out. I don't think that went back to Daniel and Jonah. I think it was people that the people recognized and knew that had to be a miracle. You had to see that. We'll find out more about that when we're resurrected as well. The questions sometimes we can't have immediate answers to. But there's obviously more than just verse 9, isn't there? You don't just have to believe the Lord Jesus and that he raised him from the dead. It says we live by every word of God, not just even 10 commandments. Every word of God is what we believe and is what we obey. Verse 16, though, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our preaching? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing how God works. Hearing how God works in your life. Hearing maybe some of the stories that I can share with you to say I don't believe that those were just circumstances. There's tons of them that I remember going through. I still remember, we've got it on video. We've got our deacon that's not here anymore, but Jeannie and I chose to have an outside wedding. You're taking a pretty big chance when you have an outside wedding on a Sunday. And so we had an outside wedding. It was supposed to rain. And the deacon, we can see him in the video, goes, it was supposed to rain. No rain. I remember my son outside the hotel when the hurricane came in a few years ago to Orange Beach. Because I told them, I remember it's tornadoes would come over our house in Cullman about every year. They could see him on Doppler. They just didn't touch down until they got over Cullman on the other side. I said, you know, it's so interesting because we had this big, huge, huge tree. I couldn't even put my arms around it. It was so big. I said, you know something? It'd be so easy for that tree to fall on our house. Cut it right in half. And it did, but not on our house. It's where the van was. And our neighbor saw that the van was just parked there. My father-in-law borrowed that van. He goes, you mind if I take your van and go to the airport? Sure, Dad, go ahead. 10 minutes later, that tree came down. I'm going to bring pictures next time. I've got evidence where that van was. So, and you've got your stories to share too, don't you? I know everyone has their stories. Now, somebody might say, well, that's circumstantial. You know, was it? Do you think it really was? How many times does it take for God to knock on our hearts before we realize and believe that God works in our lives? Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 27. This is, once again, we'll hear it, we'll do it. A couple commitments. It's interesting, the two most important commitments in a person's life would be the commitment to God to be baptized and the commitment for marriage. And how few are followed. Did you ever think? I never thought in the church that it would get like it did. Never thought that. wow, never thought would happen. I still remember to this day people saying, God's going to take, they were so confident too, God's going to take care of it. Did you ever think that? And I would say, well, sure, I know he's going to take care of it, but you know what they were thinking? They were thinking God's going to take care of it by preserving the corporation. He was confined to a physical circumstance. So he had to work that out in the church because you couldn't, that was my church. I started, that was my church. What's church? What is a church? Wait a second, I'm the church. You're the church. This is just a building. So when you say, well, I'm going to church today. Well, you're going to yourself? What do you really mean by that? See, sometimes the meanings are so distorted, we lose exactly what it is. So we thought that God would be beholden to a corporation. So people, some stuck on as long as they could. They thought, oh, God's going to work this out. And some stuck on so long, they started absorbing the teachings. They didn't realize that their faith was getting hammered. I'm just going to stay around for a while to try to help the people. Folks, you need to bail yourself. Those people are responsible to work out their own salvation too. And yes, if there are questions, they can give you a call. But to think we could stay around, and I heard that so many times. And again, maybe some people did and maybe they did help. So I don't want to make that across the board. But I saw many too that were just trying to reason. It can't work that way. So now we've come through that one. Then you go through another crisis, and then you go through another crisis. You know, the ones I like to hear is the ones that are strengthened by those crises that take place, that you're stronger as a Christian. You've weathered it. You've been through it. Is it painful? Yes. Always is so painful, so difficult. I can't see testimonies where it was that easy. So even God led Israel through a wilderness. That was difficult. You know, probably plenty to murmur about, but, you know, they would murmur about anything. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we can get caught murmuring, too. I just don't want to murmur. I just want to be thankful because it puts you in a better attitude, a better mindset. There's always something to complain about, but I see here a grateful people today to just be here. This is what God had to see in Deuteronomy 5, verse 27. He said, go and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak to us all the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear it and do it. Wow, look at that commitment. The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, Moses. And the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of these people which they have spoken, and they've well said all that they've said. They sang the song greatly. Wow, God will never leave you, never forsake you. And then all of a sudden we catch ourselves doubting. Wonder if God is there. Wonder if God is here. I told you the most difficult, at least from my standpoint, the hardest one in my life was wondering if the two people on the back were going to survive. It's interesting as I'm speaking here, the two that were involved with us, because I thought I was going to lose them both. And my face was on the floor. Wherever you have your face on the floor to God because you're so imploring to God, in such a crisis, in a hard situation, I didn't know how further down to go. I would bury my face if I could have. God, where in the world are you? Where in the world are you? That was such a challenge. And then when we had to transport to the hospital, and I just thought, when I saw the salad tongs come out, my head just dropped. I did not think that's how God was going to work that out. But you know something? He's here. They're both here to this day. God saw us through it. The one thing that became of that, as I saw God, and I said, I'll never, ever doubt God again. And I won't. I may not understand it. There will be situations that come up that I don't get, that I don't understand. But I believe the foremost on that foundation of God has got to be there. You may not get it. He may not intervene right away. He may intervene right away, or he may wait a while and then see what your attitude is or do something to build. That's what he's doing with us. He's taking people like he did with Job, taking them through a hard situation, and then they come out on the other hand better people. That's another testimony for us, and we end up seeing greater things. I was the footprints in the sand guy. Well, you couldn't see mine. Because I remember, I look back now and go, that's when God was carrying me. And I look back at that with gratefulness. But, you know, some people, God allowed them to have their children taken. Some people, they died in childbirth and labor. God's allowed things to happen across the board different with everybody. It's all different. People to be taken before their times. Things that we just can't understand. Are we stronger in faith with that? Can we share those situations and encourage each other that God was always with us? He will always be with us. Let's share some stories. Let's talk about some of these. Let's write some down because we all have them to share. He's always been there. We can see that. And he always will be there. He promises that. Verse 29 says, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would revere me and keep all my commandments." There's that reverence that that unjust judge did not have, that they would revere me and keep all my commandments always. Not the ones, by the way, and I keep seeing the Sabbath day come across as that little test command because it's just, you know, God understands. I've had a tough week and I'm just tired. He knows I need some rest. So I'm just going to lay back and watch a webcast. I'd just like to find that here somewhere. If somebody could show me that here. That keep the Sabbath, it's a holy convocation, but you know, if you're a little tired, I understand. See, that's not called reverence. That's not reverencing God. Reverencing God is saying, you know, I'm tired, but I'm here. And I'm going to worship my God Almighty. And he's able, by the way, to give me some of the strength that I need. He says he'll renew your strength. There are times, I remember, we've all got stories from the guys that went to Spokesman's Club. Wednesday night, Thursday night would come up, and I'm kind of going, you know, I just don't feel like going. But I went anyway. And every time afterward, I'm so glad that I went. And I had this second wind, and we talked to people about it. Back and forth, go, you know, I was kind of tired too. Went through it, learned and grew. That's what God is doing with us. God's given us the heart. They had the word spoken to them. We have the word spoken to us as well. They didn't do it. We can. God's given us the ability. He knew that they could. He knew that they weren't going to do it. He knows that we can. The rewards are out there for us. We can be those ones that can't wait. I keep going, brand new body, brand new body. Why do I keep saying that? Because every year I get closer to it. I'm not 15 anymore. And even if you are, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to make it to 16, does it? Not in this day and age. So God's protection is out there. On the way to services today in London, there were 4 accidents, all people plowing into guardrails. You know those big heavy ones? They're metallic. They kind of line sometimes, and at the end they're kind of rolled. I've seen it a couple of times, but if somebody hits that, they're meant to take that shock, absorb, and they just roll up like foil. And there was 2 of those that took place today with people hitting, and then another one, all in one shot along the freeway. And I'm kind of thinking, you know what that makes me think of? We do a lot of driving, and I've never had an accident in all the years. No knocking on wood stuff. I thank God all the time. Thank you for your protection, because there's a lot of nutcases out there. There are people on medications, on drugs. I have no idea. But it's very easy to get in a car accident today. But I count on God's protection and safety. And if somehow, there it is, I told people, I go, yeah, sometimes even a minister can get a ticket sometimes. How can he get a ticket to a minister? Just that's not possible, is it? Come on. He knows I serve God. I serve him on a regular basis, and I get a ticket? Wondering why. Why in the world would a minister get a ticket? And I got this still small voice that whispered to me one time. And it said, slow down. Be safe. Don't take my protection for granted. And as God's people, we can't. Those laws are out there for a purpose. We try to do the best that we can. Find myself very tired when I get home sometimes, because all the time that's spent looking in the side of your mirror, in the rear of your mirror, watching what's going on around you, that's what's expected. But we can certainly count on God's for his protection. I've heard lots of feast stories, the green sticker stories. You probably all remember the green sticker stories. So many people that you'd say, oh, green sticker, I'm going to pull over and help this person. All the wonderful stories that we've got from the past, all the wonderful stories that we've got now, and all the wonderful stories that we're going to be able to tell in the future. And this all has to do with the faith of God's people. keep the shield up, keep the faith.